It's football at four. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Wow, the Cubs showing a little sportsmanship there. Down 10-0, there was a close play at first, and they just let it go. They didn't put on the headphones to viewfinders. Is that remarkable? All right, football four. USA Today is calling the Broncos quarterback situation abysmal. Wow. That's pretty rough.
See where I have them ranked?
32.
How many teams in the NFL?
32. Wow. All right, here's their reasoning. Joe Flacco is bad and still overpaid. True or not true?
I don't know how that factors into the quarterback situation. It's how can we say he's overpaid when he hasn't played yet?
I don't think he's overpaid. I think that's what mid-level quarterbacks are paid.
Case Keenum's getting the same money.
Yeah, it's about $18 million a year. Now, the Broncos are paying $18 million to Flacco and another $4 million, it's four, half, to get rid of Keenum.
But that shouldn't, what does that have to do with on-the-field play?
Nothing.
Like, but salary should be, it shouldn't even be in the equation when you come to the rankings.
Joe Flacco is bad and still overpaid. He's not overpaid. Establish that. Is bad. Is Joe Flacco bad?
Well, their point would be that he was benched last year, was healthy enough to come back, like what happened with Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco. And then in the playoff game, when you're getting blown out, he still did not play. So they're going to say, well, he's bad now. He's a bad. He's not bad. He's never been. Joe Flacco has never been a bad quarterback. He's been average. But has he ever been bad?
No, he's not bad. He's average. He's had a very average past 4 years. Now, is he better than average?
Depends on the year.
We'll see.
It depends on. That's a subjective question. I mean, you could use numbers to. Some years he was definitely better than average. But for the most part, he's pretty steady and average. But he had a defense there for most of his career. Didn't have to do a whole lot at times. Wasn't asked to do a whole lot at times. But he never had high-end receivers in the prime of their career. You know, Anquan Boldin, you know, Steve Smith Jr., those guys were at the tail ends of their careers. It was Todd Heap.
Drew, I'm going to keep on reading here. Drew Locke's tape is full of red flags. Well, I'd agree with that. There's some red flags. I've seen some red flags out at the OTAs and the mandatory minicamp. There are. That's true. There's a lot of potential upside, but there's like some, okay, that'll be interesting. Mostly because of his...
No mention of Kevin Hogan?
No mention of Kevin Hogan. Mostly Drew Locke's red flags come with his arm slot and his accuracy. He slides into this three-quarter throwing motion kind of ambiguously. Like there doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason for it. So it makes me wonder if that's just something he's kind of dealt with his whole career, just that's kind of the way he plays. And maybe he's just gotten away from it because he was probably always unbelievably the best quarterback in high school. He was undeniably the best quarterback at Missouri. And, you know, coaches at those levels tend to not tinker with you if it's working out.
The whole article or the whole comments, you haven't got through the worst part.
I'll get through it. Okay.
But let me hit on the Drew Locke thing.
All right.
His tape, college tape, shows red flags. So is every college quarterback, when they get to the NFL team, all just ready to play in the NFL, or do they get better? Has a college quarterback with red flags ever gotten better with NFL coaching and a different style of offense? And so the red flags that you see in college on his tape, I would think that Scangarello knows about those. Mm-hmm. And is working hard to fix them. But for 2019, which the list is based on, Drew Lock should not be the starting quarterback. If he is, Joe Flacco has gotten hurt.
Correct. When should he be the starting quarterback?
See how 2019 goes. Let's not shovel dirt on Joe Flacco after 2019. Remember, he's still in the prime of his career.
I would say, ideally, Drew Lock doesn't step onto the field until his, 2022.
When Joe Flacco's deal's up.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that the goal?
Ideally, you can develop him while winning. You assume they'd be winning if you're willing
to pay. You're hoping so. You got him 10-6. Nick Ferguson is on a, he's got him 12-4. He decided to.
They were 11-5.
I know.
You got another game out of him?
You got another game
Mike
out
Evans,
of
him. Mike Evans, magician in the morning.
I tell you. No, they were, he was seriously banging the drum for 12-4. It was hard for Mike to contain himself. I think Nick is crazy on that. To me, I'm still trying to get my head around 10-6 because I think they're 8-8.
Their division, you could make a case based on last year's results, is probably top two divisions in the NFL.
I mean, if they're the worst quarterback room, according to USA Today, in the NFL, then this is a 4 or 5 win team, if what they're saying is true.
But it's what kind of...
They go on.
Let's delve into their comments. He's bad and overpaid. There's a lot of time spent on that. Bad and overpaid. That's a good take.
I'd say he's...
Based on, there should be a sentence after that. Based on what?
No, there's not. That sentence is wrong. He's not bad. He's average. He's been average. He's been spectacular. He's not overpaid. He's paid exactly what you get to be a starting quarterback that has his length of service, and it's very average. Starting quarterbacks in the NFL making $18 million, that's average. It's average. He's average ability right now, average pay. So that line's wrong. Drew Lock's tape is full of red flags. I know what you're saying. Who's to say he's the backup quarterback, period? And what are we talking about, this year or years to come? So that's stupid. The team is paying Case Keenum $7 million not to play for them. That's just untrue. That is just literally not true. They're paying $4 million, and the Redskins picked up the rest. And the incompetent GM might be the best quarterback on the payroll. That's just being snarky. Other than that, the Broncos quarterback situation is decent. So it's not really an evaluation. It's just a snarky comment with some half-truths and some specific lies.
Incompetent in which way, though? Just,
that's just being
dealing
snarky
with quarterbacks, I assume.
Because
you could make the case that that is accurate.
Whoever wrote this is just a dude who's got some sort of axe to grind with Elway. Listen, Elway's had a lot of bad GM moments in the past 3 years, Tommy. That is true.
Not incompetent.
Pretty bad.
You don't build a team that goes to Super Bowl twice and wins one.
Dude, I can go through at least 7 things that were just totally incompetent.
You can describe his reign here as incompetent.
No, the past 3 years, I can easily list you 5 or 6 ones right off the top of my head, no problem.
The 9-7 year as well? With Wade? Transitioning from Peyton Manning?
I can use that year if you want. I mean...
Last 3 years.
Because you drafted Paxton Lynch in the 9-7 year. Yes. And a terrible move.
It's a quarterback in the first round. It's what you want.
Tommy. Quarterback in the 20s, which you stay away from at all costs. And there were ridiculous red flags. And you should have just retained Brock.
When was Aaron Rodgers drafted?
What year?
No, and where in the first round?
There's two, buddy. There's two. Why don't you just mention the other one as well?
Who is the other one?
Dan Marino.
There you go.
There's two. You want me to go through
how'd that work out? No, I do not want you to go through
how
this.
How did Brady Quinn?
No.
How did Tim Tebow? How did Brandon Whedon? How did Johnny Manziel? How'd they work out? I can keep going.
They weren't given time like Drew Lock will.
Okay. When we come back, Emmanuel Sanders in studio. I'd be curious what people want to find out. You know, I think what'll be cool to have Emmanuel here is he'll shoot relatively straight, I think. And I'm curious if Emmanuel is going to work out with Joe Flacco before training camp even starts. We'll get to it coming up next.
Now back to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
All right, so Emmanuel's going to be here in about 40 minutes, or maybe earlier. We'll see. Welcome at any point. We're looking forward to having him back in. He said he would come back in, and indeed he's keeping his word on that. So how important is Sanders, do you think, Tommy, to the success of the team this year?
I did some reading on coming back from the Achilles injury in the NFL, and it wasn't the most encouraging statistics I read, especially with...
How so?
With skilled position players, how their production dropped, number of games played went from the average of like 11 point something to 6.7, I think I read, somewhere like that. But that takes into account, I don't know what the sampling, what years it was, but it was recent. So modern medicine was involved with these numbers. So I'm just a little worried about him coming back. DeMarcus Cousins was out with the Achilles for 257 days. Emmanuel Sanders tore his Achilles, I think, December 5th or so. It was like a Wednesday practice. I think there were four games left in the season, so he's about 6 months out, which is approximately about half the time that DeMarcus Cousins was out. So, and I know they babied Cousins back because they truly didn't need him at that time, so they took their time with him.
Mm-hmm.
But my worry is that Emmanuel Sanders is going to feel the Kevin Durant pull to go out there and perform when training camp starts and just rush back. How important is he to the offense?
How important is he?
Incredibly important. He's the one proven receiver that we have. Tim Patrick's, he's an interesting receiver. I kind of like where his career is going, but he really hasn't proven
Tim
anything.
Tim Patrick, you got to start with Cortland Sutton.
Cortland Sutton is in his second year, and you know expectations for him are huge, but that's long-term expectations.
Would Sanders be more productive for the Broncos from the slot?
I don't know how much slot he's played.
Not a ton.
Because in Pittsburgh, it was... Wasn't Antonio Brown sometimes the slot guy there?
I'm not sure.
The slot guys, you know, that's just going to put, they do quick routes, quick cuts, things like that, which would put more pressure. The outside guys do, you know, longer routes, as goes, as crosses, deep crosses, things like that, digs. So you'd be putting him in the position of, he's certainly quick enough. But do I want him cutting even more? Coming off the Achilles.
We've seen a lot of video. He's put a lot out there, and we'll definitely go into, you know, the video process. What harsher demands are going to be on him during a game than we've seen in the video?
There's, based on those videos, I saw a former team doctor from the Chargers made comments about it saying, I didn't know which Achilles he tore. But after watching the video, I know it's his left one. There's a hitch in his giddy up.
No kidding.
Yeah,
really?
he basically broke it down.
Really?
And this is separate from the
I didn't see that.
The stuff I was reading about the stats behind it. This was completely separate from that. But his thoughts were that he's still not 100%. Now I couldn't tell you watching those. I said when he reached for a ball, it looked kind of weird. When he went up to kind of jump for a ball, he caught the ball, but he didn't look comfortable doing it. But he looked like he was going 100%, but I don't know health-wise what percentage he is.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
But offensively, I mean, Joe Flacco has to have Emmanuel Sanders in the huddle, especially early in the season.
Let me ask a tricky question here. Will other teams be targeting him?
Targeted him, like, physically?
Yeah. Do NFL guys who know you're coming back from an injury target the injured area?
The Achilles? That's a tough one to target. If it was a knee.
You could get in a pile. You could twist things up. You could drop a forearm.
Receivers aren't in piles very often. And we're talking about DBs for the most part. The corners that would be covering him. Mm-hmm. I don't think that'd be a hard one to target. But you'd think that he's coming back week to week. If you have an ankle and you see the guy come out and spat up, you know which ankle it is. Knees, things like that, that you know that he got banged up the week before. Yeah, you can kind of test it a little bit, but not coming out of the offseason and training camp, and the Achilles itself would be hard to target.
What kind of leader does he need to be? We were talking a lot about the Rockies yesterday, like perhaps you lose something with cargo.
I think that Emmanuel can take a step back from whatever leadership role he had, or he doesn't feel... I would think that he doesn't feel the need to step into that void.
You don't think he should be one of the captains?
Well, let's see how training camp... There's so many new players, and it starts with Joe Flacco, because I think that Joe Flacco does bring that veteran, Super Bowl-winning quarterback presence to the huddle, which has been lacking since 2015.
Is Joe Flacco... And we'll address
and
all
that's
these.
Where Emmanuel stepped in after Peyton left. It wasn't going to be Paxton Lynch. Brock was gone.
It was a
Trevor Siemian.
Confusing time, no doubt about it.
Matt Paradis was the leader on the offensive line. But offensive linemen are tough to... you're on your own little bubble as an offensive lineman. So you're basically just kind of like the leader of five guys.
It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Should Joe Flacco be holding a Joe Flacco camp? Tommy, should we see something here in the next 5 weeks where Joe Flacco gets the fellas together for 2 or 3 days?
I think they've spent a lot of time together throughout the OTAs, the voluntary April mini camp. It's not that vital.
Well, what about Sanders specifically?
Just hold a one-on-one with Emmanuel Sanders.
Wouldn't be the worst thing.
No,
I mean, you didn't get any.
Be.
You didn't get any throw-in time in at all. I mean, it wouldn't just be. It wouldn't make sense to me as just Emmanuel. But I mean, Emmanuel can't run every single route. But
there's plenty of time. We do have the extra week.
Yeah, so you don't think that's
camp.
Not a big deal?
No, Emmanuel Sanders is just getting going right now. I think Joe Flacco probably wants to rest a little bit. Despite being in his prime.
So what about all these, you know, Tom Brady getting the fellas together in Montana and some of these other things we've seen throughout the years when guys get together, you know. Peyton used to do his thing actually like in April. It was actually much earlier in the year, but, you know.
Would it help? Sure. Is it imperative? No. I mean, they have plenty of time to get it together.
Not a big deal.
No. A veteran receiver like that, too.
So let me ask you this. If you're Sanders...
Peyton had two young receivers in Demaryius and Eric Decker. Who else would he invite?
Well Jacob, Stokely came 1 year.
Tammy would go.
Dreesen, I think, was there 1 year. He did it a couple years. I think he did 4 years. I think he did it all 4 years he was here. So he had a variety of different guys. But never Brock. Never invited Brock. You learn on your own, Brock.
He wasn't mentoring?
He was not mentoring. No mentoring
it's
going
not,
on.
Wasn't Peyton's job.
It was not Peyton's job. He was not here to be a mentor. That was clear. That question to him would be just absolutely ridiculous. Never saw that as his job.
I don't think it's that big a deal.
Okay. What about this? What about just Flacco and Sanders? Well, what about that? What about just meeting up and going to Regis High School where, you know,
no.
Landau used to go?
No. Emmanuel Sanders needs to be on grass.
Okay, fine.
Dove Valley, if Joe Flacco is here.
Well, they're not allowed. They could go out the soccer fields next to Dove Valley.
They can go out there together.
No, they cannot.
Without coaches?
I don't think so.
Yes, you can.
I do not think so.
Emmanuel Sanders was... running routes, catching passes at Dove Valley on the videos.
You know, we'll ask Sanders that. I don't think they can.
What rule is there that two guys can't go out there and practice without coaching?
I think there is a you got to stay away from the facility rule, like an NFL mandated rule about that.
Emmanuel's there.
He's rehabbing.
Yep, Joe Flacco can have a little flare up.
You know what? I'm not sure what the rule is. Not sure.
There's too many ways to get around that rule that it would make sense to have the rule. There's too many ways to cheat it. Inflammation in his elbow. I'm in there for treatment. Wanted to go out and catch passes.
I could have sworn there's something.
But I don't want to take...
Can we look that up? What is the NFL rule about practicing the amount... Because I saw some dumb things when it was Chad Kelly and Jake Butt, for example. Like, they weren't allowed to throw to each other, so there always had to be a trainer between Chad Kelly and Jake Butt. We're talking about after practice is over, and they're just running through things. Like, they would run, both of them would run through that day's practice by themselves. So Chad would have all the plays that he would have had to run, and he would, like, do it by himself. It was weird watching. And Butt would go out there and run every route that he was supposed to run by himself. But not catch a ball from Chad Kelly. And there had to be separation. So there was always like some sort of young trainer or something who literally just had always stood in between Chad Kelly and Jake Butt. It was one of the oddest things I've ever
seen.
That's
when the media is around and there are eyeballs and that's a rule. But we're talking... mid-June, mid-July.
You think there's some
nobody
going on
at Dove Valley?
You don't think Belichick is floating a drone overhead, over top?
No.
Headquartered at man caves across the street and just sort of drifting as a drone?
The other thing a camp would take away is rehab. He's still rehabbing. So are we taking him a couple days away from his rehab?
I'm just asking how important it is to build the chemistry between a number one wide receiver and the quarterback.
There's plenty of time for that. Emmanuel Sanders has to get in the huddle first. Yeah, I don't think he's 100%.
Really?
He's going 100%, but just reading this, the former David Child, former Chargers team doctor, and his breakdown of the video, he makes some good points. He points out specific routes where he can see a little hitch.
Boy, I couldn't, but...
He said on the surface it appears that he looks 100%.
Will Sanders be here after this year?
We'll see how the year goes.
Maybe. Boy, there's a few guys like that, aren't there?
Half the team.
Yeah. Gotsis, Wolf, Harris.
Flacco,
Sanders. See, this is why I do think it's a very much a win now sort of proposition.
Absolutely. Vic Fangio is not going to, going back to field day, he's not going to, his first opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL, there's only 32 of those jobs, he's 60 years old. Do you think he's just going to, you guys are fine, do you think he's going to just take his first opportunity as a joke?
No.
He's going to do whatever it takes.
Well, I think the message has been pretty clear.
He wants to win now.
Let me ask another.
How many years would he get if they're not winning?
You know, Sanders does not have his money guaranteed until he's on the opening roster and the season starts.
They picked up his bonus in March.
Yeah, but the rest of the money isn't guaranteed until he's on the roster and the season has started.
That's a lot of guys. That's Derek Wolfe.
Joe
Flacco gets nothing.
My point is, now this is tricky, because you want to get out there and you want to compete. You're obviously shooting videos of yourself to prove that you're far along. But participating in camp, I don't know how many favors that actually does you if you run the risk of injury.
There is the option of PUPing him, or if he were to start training camp on time, you do have the IR rule where he can come back if he's just not ready yet.
then you get into the very dicey territory. Does he just become a veteran cut?
They don't really have the luxury of that because of the uncertainty. Can you say for sure that Courtland Sutton is going to go out there and tear up the NFL?
Definitely not. I was surprised during this minicamp and OTAs that I didn't see more breakout moments from Courtland Sutton.
Is Deshaun Hamilton going to light up the NFL?
He's a Jag. Just a guy. Not a bad guy, but he's just a
guy. Tim Patrick could surprise people.
His potential is through the roof. That's one people are probably sleeping on.
You're seeing my point, though. You have a proven commodity. You give him as much time, as many chances as you can. Because it's such an unproven receiving core.
Well, we'll get to it with Emmanuel Sanders when he drops into studio here in about 15 minutes or so. This is The Drive on The Fan.
You are listening to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Emmanuel will join us here shortly. Game 7 tonight, Tommy.
Foster knocks in it across. Score! What a shot by Marshawn! Pointing it on back. Kept there by Carlo, and his shot. Score! Got it back over. Coleman has shot. He scores! Coleman! And it's taken away by Corelli. Cut around in front. Foster knocks. He scores! Back to Jara again. Sail down and in. And Zdeno Jara. Game 7.
Before the show, we were speculating about what could be the most dramatic moment tonight in game seven. And that moment is going to happen.
You're kidding me.
David Ortiz will deliver a video message for game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Don't tell me
wow.
You just didn't. I got chills just saying that a little
wow.
bit.
Wow.
Think about that for a second.
Oh, they got Pam from The Office?
Right.
Yeah.
Big Poppy from the hospital bed.
From Mass General?
Big Poppy from Mass General after his second surgery. Good luck on Pam from The Office. This may be one of the most electric moments in sports history tonight. David Ortiz should be dead.
This is a dude that after the marathon bombing got, you know, in front of Fenway Park, just got on the microphone and just... No filter. Just
no
cussing.
Filter. As much as I'm sure he is loved in the Dominican Republic, I would say he may even be over Tom Brady.
I don't think there's any doubt because I told you the hierarchy of sports in Boston. People don't care about football. The Patriots win, so they feign like they care. I told you this when I came to Denver. It was they don't care about college football there, and they don't care about professional football like they do the Red Sox.
Dude, what a moment. David Ortiz is going to address the crowd via video before Game 7.
A buddy of mine texted me, said Timmy Thomas is going to be there, former goaltender.
I
replied, is Poppy going to be there? And he goes, I don't know. He's got some issues right now.
But the answer is he will be there. Wow. Dang. You're a lifelong Bruins fan.
That just pumps up the crowd. It doesn't affect the game at all. The players probably won't even be on the ice.
I think it sets a certain tone.
Maybe there'll be less fighting.
And the stands are on the ice.
Stands.
Same.
Sure.
Same amount of fighting. You don't want to change that. You don't want to do something different. Don't change your routine.
But David Ortiz is higher up than Tom Brady. Wouldn't you think? Beloved in the city?
Oh, man, that's tough. Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, Denver is...
I think the marathon bombing moment and him addressing the crowd sort of put him in a place that even Tom Brady can't really touch. And despite the multiple championships, there's multiple championships with David Ortiz as well.
Yeah, but the curse ender.
Yeah, he's been part of the biggest moments and part of the culture of the
and he's of the husky. City. He's a husky man.
He's
people
a regular,
can identify
he's a
with him.
He's a regular dude.
Or his TB12 and his super water that gets rid of concussions and all that ridiculous.
Your boy
Tom Brady.
He's got
concussion proof water. Drink some.
I love Tom Brady.
It's a good thing to have. I'd like to get a cup of that. Anyway, that should be an exciting moment. What will your routine be? How are you handling this moment? Because you've been saying your favorite team is going to lose in this series every single game.
I said they would lose this series.
I
still think the Blues are the better team. Grizzlick is back for the Bruins, a small Tyson Berry-type defenseman, but the Blues... Whoever won that Dallas series, regardless if the Avs were going to play him or the Sharks.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, it's going to be a rough night, I think. I'm just excited to be still watching. I'm glad it went extended
as far as the season could go.
I don't care who's playing, Caps, Knights, it doesn't matter. They took it as far as it could go, and I can watch hockey.
Doesn't get
so
any
So I guess I win in the end.
Yes.
Nobody thought either of these teams... Berube has an interim coach ever won anything? He's still Berube, the coach of the Blues, is still the interim coach. They have not named him head coach.
That's a good question. I don't know. That's a good one. I would guess no. So, but break it down. Where will you watch it with your wife?
If you listen once in a while,
you have one
you
TV
would know
in your bedroom.
Have one
I know.
Television.
I know.
And it's in the bedroom.
But will you be getting any of your friends together or be inviting any other friends?
No, I'll just be texting.
To come to your bedroom.
No. It's going to be me, the couple dogs, passing child. My son came home last night from his summer learning opportunity.
How's he doing on that? Will he be joining you in the bedroom?
I don't know what year in college he's in now.
Excellent.
He might be joining me in the bed.
Okay.
It's king size. The whole family can fit.
Do you have other chairs in the bedroom?
It's one bed.
And nowhere else to sit.
A dresser with a TV on it.
That's it.
Yeah. It's simple. Nothing fancy.
You have a headboard?
This is a headboard.
Is it comfortable headboard?
We got like 30 pillows. What we lack in other furniture, we make up for in pillows. The useless pillows.
Where will the dogs be?
Foot of the bed.
Not
the foot of the bed. They're on the bed. They'll be on the bed, but where your feet
How tall is your son?
6'2"-ish.
Where would he actually sit in the bed?
He'll snuggle right up next to me.
At 6'2"?
Yeah. We got that. Kind of relationship.
Oh, all right. Like Tom Brady and his son?
No, not that far. No. That's your boy.
That's ugly, right?
Still one of the creepiest things I think ever seen, everywhere.
Do people in Denver just want the Bruins to lose solely based on the success the other teams have had?
I think...
The Blues are not the most beloved team, and St. Louis is not the most beloved city for Denver
fans.
But
Ryan O'Reilly's on the Blues.
But you have one true Coloradan.
Brandon
Carlo. He's local. He's from the Springs.
I don't think people... Well, first of all, it's the Springs, not Denver, so easy.
I said Coloradan.
Nobody cares about that.
A Denverite.
People listen to
this.
No mushrooms for him, especially not from the Springs. Are you kidding me?
Steve Fisher from Michigan. I knew... when I said it, I was thinking the Michigan coach.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
Of course, the Michigan State alum wouldn't know that because he's just blind to facts.
Right.
Whoa. Hating on Michigan.
Whoa.
Now, he just likes
you
coaches.
Offer up any Michigan
he just likes
facts.
Coaches who scream at people and like physically abuse their players and, you know.
Spartans!
There you go. Oh, well, good luck with your two dogs. With your young teenage daughter, will she care at all?
She wants to see the Bruins win.
Oh, will she be in the bed?
I've brainwashed them.
Will she be in the bed with the pillows?
Maybe. And she's usually in a room watching
whatever YouTube videos.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Whatever they do.
Is she vaping or not?
No.
Did you see what Aspen did?
They banned it.
They banned the flavored.
The flavored.
Yeah, which is created directly to be sold to like 13 to 15 year olds. And anybody who wants to debate that, I was going around and around with some people. Everybody who thinks this is a bad thing, they don't have teenagers. They really literally just don't understand. And it's got nothing to do with freedom in America and, you know, the USA and all that. It's got to do with an insidious product that is geared specifically at young teens. I'm glad Aspen did what they did. I hope more cities
text line. You don't get this very much, but 100% hates Boston.
100%
we're in agreement. Everybody hates Boston.
Oh, I don't think people are pulling for the Bruins. I'm just trying to appease you. I really don't care. I love Ryan O'Reilly. If the Blues win tonight with Ryan O'Reilly, I'm excited.
I love him. I don't understand why he's not still an Av.
Tell me
to this
about
day.
It. Couldn't agree more on that. I hope Ryan O'Reilly puts up a hat trick.
He's been fantastic. He is built for.
But I like you, and I know you care.
I'll be fine. I'm happy. I don't care. I'm not going to be like crushed.
Hey, listen. Love hockey and you love the Bruins.
It was supposed to be Tampa Bay Lightning. Do you remember them? They would have hoisted the cup already. So this is gravy.
Man.
They are my favorite. They're probably my favorite sports team is the Bruins.
Okay. So tonight does matter to you.
It does, but they've exceeded my expectations with their crappy defensemen.
If this was the Avs and the Bruins in Game 7, who would you be pulling for?
I would know the Avs would win. The Avs would crush the Bruins. There's no way they could match up with McKinnon's speed. No way. You double shift McKinnon, triple him.
Well,
I'd be pulling for the Bruins. I'm not going to be... That's weak if I all of a sudden become
You've lived
like,
here since 1995?
I went to the first Avs game ever at McNichols.
Right, when they were flyers, like what offsides is.
They were playing the Red Wings.
Like, didn't they have instruction pamphlets?
No, that was San Jose when they went to San Jose. No, but the Avs were trying to kill a penalty. They'd ice the puck in the place. They'd start booing. And I said, no, this is a good thing. Yes, kill the penalty. Get back to even. I love the Avs. I just don't love them as much.
All right. Well, good luck tonight.
There's a couple more connections with Colorado for the Blues.
Who else?
Bozak went to DU.
Okay, that's right. That's right. All right.
The forward from CC. Schwartz, Jaden Schwartz.
Okay.
Went to CC. So they got three connections if you want to go that route. If you don't care who wins.
I just like Ryan O'Reilly. So
everyone likes Ryan O'Reilly. The Bruins love him. He is a hockey player. He's like the definition. A two-way forward, a guy that can win face-offs, gets you the greasy goals.
How did he get out of Buffalo?
Remember he won the Lady Bing 1 year.
I know he had a couple cocktails and ran into a Tim Hortons. Is that why he got bounced out of Buffalo?
No.
Why? Why is he not in Buffalo still?
Buffalo was rebuilding, and I think when they traded him to St. Louis, whatever they got in return was rebuilding.
Okay.
Buffalo's always rebuilding.
That wasn't always the case.
The city and the franchise.
Wasn't always the case. For a while,
Recent history.
We just stopped doing anything. We just did nothing. It's pretty awesome. I don't know, man. I get you out at the pier right there in Lake Erie. I could show you a good time. I could show you how you could have some fun in Buffalo.
When this iceberg's coming out of Lake Erie.
Not in June, dude. In June, it's nice.
They melt by then?
Yeah. You can just see the tips of them. All right. Any word on Emmanuel yet? Yes? No? Not yet? You're checking on him? All right. Well, we can gear up for it, Richie. I'm ready. I'm ready to fire it off.
I will say this. I wouldn't be like a Cubs fan. I would not show up in an Avs game with a Bruins sweater or anything like that. I would be completely neutral. And I'd be happy to see. I think, did I go see the Avs play? Man, the Avs crushed them when they came here. But the Bruins D was, it was nothing like they had like two of their, it was like four AHL defensemen on the team. But I would not Cubs fan it up and wear all my gear.
Okay.
Never. I would never go to a Rockies game with a Red Sox hat on. I actually like the Rockies. I could almost
really
see myself liking the Rockies more than the Red Sox at some point.
Yeah, I've passed that threshold a long time ago, actually. Told you, Giambi's walk-off. It was awesome. I knew it. I was jumping up and down. I was pumped. I'm looking at my little kids.
Here's how much I hate your boy Tommy and the New England Patriots.
Why does he become my
not
boy?
Not only those jackasses not draft me, but their perfect season when they play the Giants. We're in our house in Lone Tree, and I am jumping up and down. Tom Coughlin is the coach of the Giants, the devil, the man who stole my youth at Boston College.
Mm.
And I was pulling so hard for another NFL team as a current NFL player that I was jumping up and down when that catch was made. Was it David Tyree?
Syracuse.
Yes. Went crazy. Well, it was unbelievable.
Literally crazy. Like, the guy's like off his meds. He's like crazy.
But that's how much I hate the Patriots. That's your boys.
It's KKFN. KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. The 5 o'clock whistle featuring Emmanuel Sanders.
This one starts at the 36. They fake it to Lindsey Keenum with all kinds of time. Airs it out all alone is Sanders. He will walk into the end zone with a flip at the end of it. What a night for Denver. 64 yards to Emmanuel Sanders, who's thrown one and now caught one. Keenum with time. Lofts it. Has a man open and he's got it. Emmanuel Sanders.
First and 10. It's Emmanuel Sanders with a lot of room to run. Sanders at the 20 with a blocker in front. Sanders to the house for a touchdown. 35 yards.
You know, it's interesting, Tommy, in an athlete's career path, once you win a Super Bowl championship, how does that feel when you come back for more seasons after you've won? In your case, you won two.
The following season?
Just the rest of your career, what's that like?
Well, you think it was such a blessing.
So you were done.
4 and 5. Years 4 and 5.
You won in years 4 and 5, but you played for 12, right?
15.
Sorry,
but
15.
Well, I just want to, you know.
No.
I'm
glad
you
corrected
me. With the
me.
Truth and
no,
the facts
no,
and all
I'm
that.
Glad. I'm glad.
I know that's your motto.
So you have 10 more years, 10
yes.
more NFL
and you,
seasons.
See, you see winning early as a blessing.
Was it a curse?
It was a curse because it sucked after that. You think that players don't want to win championships? I'll tell you what, after we won two, you think people are comfortable? Tony Romo, that 6-10 year was miserable. Losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers in 05, miserable.
AFC championship game, right?
Right.
Yeah.
The switch from Jake Plummer to Jay Cutler, and we were 7-4 at the time, miserable, missing the playoffs that year. It sucks not winning after winning. Maybe
and
you're
you
better
got,
off
what,
not winning at all because you don't know what you're missing out on.
What was your worst injury after winning your second Super Bowl?
That ACL.
ACL. So now you got to come back. And what years was that in?
ACL was 2002.
So now you're in year, well, kind of similar to Manuel, I guess. Kind of in year 8 or 9, something like that.
Sort of twilightish, isn't it?
For some. Did you see Zane Beatles just hung it up?
I didn't know he's still playing.
Yeah, he's trying. He's such a good dude. So, hey, here he is. What's up, Emmanuel? Good to see you. So, have you guys ever met?
No.
Tom Nalen, so, Emmanuel Sanders. Oh, that's good. Good. Maybe, Emmanuel, you just join us on this conversation right here.
Good to see you, brother.
Tommy won his two Super Bowls with the Broncos in year 4 and 5. You won Super Bowl 50. What year was that for you?
Six-ish.
Six.
Yeah, you did four in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Then 1 year with Foxy.
Yeah.
So now, finding the motivation to continue to play, and Tom went through an ACL injury, and you've gone through the Achilles injury. What does motivate you to keep playing once you've won a championship?
I don't know. For me, I want to get to 10,000 yards. I want to win another championship. I don't know. I'm chasing greatness. You know, I feel like I still got more than a couple more years. So, I feel like these last couple years is my best years, and I'm sure everybody feels that way. But, you know, I'm working, and I feel like I'm getting smarter. I'm getting wiser, like I said, and I feel better physically. So I feel like I got, you know, these next couple years or 3 years are going to be my best years.
First of all, I want to thank you for coming in, because you said you would come in after you came in before, and you're true to your promise, so I appreciate that. Yeah. And I'm going to guess it's a little easier now that OTAs and minicamp and all that stuff is a little bit over, although you guys are still as a team. It seems like you're keeping busy. I see you down at Coors Field yesterday.
Yeah, that was fun. Was able to raise money through UC Health for leukemia research, so that was awesome. That was an awesome event, even though I didn't go yard. Andy Janovich hit 4 out the park.
Dude, let me tell you, I saw his swing.
It's crazy.
His swing is not that great.
It's not that great. He's just strong.
It's ridiculous.
He's just strong. I'm talking to Cortland prior to like going up the back corner. He's like, yeah, I got 4. I was like, what? You think you got 4 out the park? You know how tough it is? He didn't hit 0.
I'm not surprised by that. I mean, Janovich and Kreider kind of just.
Yeah.
They're strong dudes.
I was surprised by Case.
How hard were they throwing BP, though?
55.
That makes it even harder.
Yeah. If it was going 65, it probably would have been a little easier.
Dude, it's pretty hard to jack a baseball at 55 miles an hour. More than 350 feet.
That's what I'm saying.
Geno hit it farther than Vinny Castilla.
Geno's a freak.
He's strong.
That's ridiculous. Okay. We're seeing the videos. I don't even know what that's. It's not quite a treadmill. I don't know what that thing is you're running with.
With the one with Philip?
Yeah.
What is that thing?
It's like a treadmill, but instead you're pushing it yourself, so it helps work with like your running mechanics. So if you go faster,
it'll go faster.
You go faster, but if you lean too far forward, you fall on your face. If you lean too far back, you go back. So it really helps with your running mechanics.
Yeah, I wouldn't know much about that.
Yeah, Lorne Landau. He brought those
right
in.
There.
Yeah.
See him hop off that?
Trust me.
You got to be careful.
I'll post when I'm running fast, and if I end up busting my butt, I'm definitely going to post that one as well. Trust me.
Why is it important for you to post these videos now?
I've always did that, you know. I've been posting videos, workout videos on Instagram since I got it like 5 years ago. So
okay.
I just like posting my workouts just to show the fans that I'm working and getting them excited for the season. And, you know, I get a lot of positive feedback from it because, truthfully, you know, that's what the fans want to see. They want to see us working to try to bring a championship to Denver. And I feel like they appreciate it a lot more when they see the day-to-day grind of it and then they see all the success that goes on the field.
Yeah, I mean, were you racing Lindsay
We were racing, but we weren't. We were trying to get a certain miles per hour.
It's the same thing as like when we go to 24-hour fitness. You always keep an eye on the guy.
Yeah.
How's he doing over there?
Philip's competitive, though. He's competitive because Landau was like, don't go over 16 miles an hour. So then Philip goes 16.5. Then I come back and go 16.8. Philip goes 17.2. And then Landau looks at me and was like, don't go over 50. I was like, I wanted to go for it, but I didn't.
Tell him about the doctor.
Yeah, there's a former. I read something because of the things you're posting in your workouts with running routes.
Oh, yeah.
Did you read this? The former doctor from San Diego. Yeah. He basically, you know, diagnosed where you're at.
Yeah, I had read that article. You know, I listen to a lot of media, even though people might not think in the article he tries to diagnose. Well, this is the same guy that said that I probably won't be back until, you know, week this and week that in the season.
Oh, has he
and
been,
I'll be on PUP and all this
commenting
type of stuff.
Yeah, all along?
So then he broke down my video and tried to say that I had a limp when I was making a hitch in my giddy up. I'm here to tell you guys, I have no pain when I'm running.
Yeah,
no,
it doesn't look like
it. It doesn't look at how's the next day.
No, I feel good. I take really good care of my body. The only time that my Achilles is sore is when I wake up in the morning. And when I wake up in the morning, I get up. Once I start moving around, it loosens up, and then I'm ready to go. I've been doing 2-a-days. I haven't even been posting me running routes with the Broncos. I've been running routes with the Broncos, and then I'll go and run routes on my own as well. So I've been doing 2-a-days on this thing.
Your goals are pretty lofty. You think that you'd want to start off training camp with the team full go, I assume?
Not full go. They're not going to let me go full go. But even though I'm going to be ready for that moment, we're reporting 10 days earlier.
Right.
So there's no reason for me to go full go.
So you're not going to feel that you know, training camp urge to get out there with the guys? Because I just wanted to say with what happened with Kevin Durant.
Of course.
And maybe feeling the pressure of the team getting.
No, there's no pressure. There's no pressure because I know that at the end of the day, it's about week one. But if you ask anybody around the Broncos facility, Mike Tomlin used to always say, I'd rather say woe than sick him. Right? And I'm one of those guys that you got to tell me, whoa, you ain't got to tell me, go get it. And so just speaking to the Broncos staff, they're definitely going to be like, okay, whoa, 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 let's back off. Okay, now go. Okay, whoa, 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 okay, now go.
So,
but they know I'm going to have myself ready if they need me to go full go whenever.
What's the difference once you put pads on?
What do you mean?
I don't know.
Like weight-wise?
Yeah, does training-wise, pressure-wise, intensity-wise, what changes, if anything?
I don't know. I've been playing football since I was 20 years.
Nothing?
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm trying to think to myself, well, what is it that you're not ready to do? And I can't think of what that is.
Just work them in slow, I guess, 7-on-7.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're going to do. Individual, I'm going to start off probably with individual, then work my way into 7-on-7 and 1-on-1. Even though I can go full go, like you said, why rush?
Right.
What's the rush?
Right.
I'm already going to be ready conditioning wise because I won't let them kill me. I kill myself every single day. I work my butt off every single day. I'm going to be ready, but at the same time, when I'm ready, all right, now gradually put me in there instead of just throw me in there and just, you know what I mean? So, of course, even though I might be ready full, why rush and just throw me in there?
All right.
You know?
Do you need, or what kind of work do you need to do with Joe Flacco?
What do you mean?
Well, I was
D-Mac's paranoid that you guys haven't had.
I'm
any,
not paranoid.
You are. You're like, should they get together in this time off?
Is okay, it, should you get together in the time off?
Why?
I don't know, to develop a kind of rhythm, or sort of a bond.
We'll be good. I mean, we got a month and a half of training camp.
That's enough time.
Yeah, you got a month and a half of training camp.
All right.
You know, we'll be.
I think
me and Joe would be good. You know, it'll be good to like link up. You know, I'll probably hit him up, but Joe's on the East Coast, so I would literally have to fly out there.
He hasn't moved here yet.
I mean, he moved here, but
did he?
His family is out there. Right. Now, you know, all the guys are really gone right now.
Yeah, I know.
Nobody's here.
D-Mac asked me about because I've had some after season surgery or season within the surgery, and then after. The season is over and everybody leaves and you're stuck there rehabbing. How dark is that? Because it was dark for me. There's only a few guys there.
Dude,
January, February, when nobody's there.
Yeah, if you would have talked to me probably 2 years ago and when I had my nice, beautiful house in Houston and I was seeing my family, I would have been upset about it. But truthfully, man, Denver has grown on me so much. Like, I love being out here. When I tell you the reason why I feel like I'm going to have the best season because I got so much peace. You know what I mean? Like, literally, I go to work at 9 o'clock. I get done at, like, 2 o'clock. I go home. I chill. It's relaxing. Then I just get back up at, like, 4 o'clock, and I'm back on the football field, you know? I don't have my family tugging me here and there and all these, you know, different flights and all this different stuff, you know?
But specific to, like, the rehab. When you're here in the months, the off-season months, and there's only a few guys around.
Yeah, it's me and Phillip, and I've really been enjoying spending time, like, working with Phillip because I'm talking to him about the mental side in terms of if we're going to win a Super Bowl this year, this city is depending on us. And so if this city is depending on us, we got to outwork everybody. We got to have a different mentality. I'm talking to him about the goals that we got to accomplish. I was telling him today, if you play against the Broncos offense, if Phillip Lindsay goes in motion, you best believe the entire defense is looking at you. If you can be a threat, and we're working every day of trying to make him a threat, or he's already a threat, but tightening up his receiving so he can be a threat there as well. So, you know, I feel like God don't make no mistakes. And, you know, hopefully, you know, the work that me and him doing, you know, you guys can see it during the season, you know, because that would be amazing to see Phillip Lindsay spread out wide, and we spreading out people, and now he's on the linebacker. Good luck.
Right. You know, so I think I hear what you're saying.
Don't give too much of the offense away here, man. Don't give too much of the offense away.
I mean, everybody knows what's going on. If you don't, then you don't.
The problem with Phillip splitting out is it leaves an empty backfield, and then we might have some pass protection problems.
Yeah, well, we're talking third down.
Third and four, okay. Third and 10 plus. Yeah. Seven-step drop.
We don't need to pile on any of Emmanuel's teammates while you're here.
Don't want to go empty.
These offensive
don't like the O-line?
I think they have a chance. I like Juwan James. I like the fact that they gave him so much money must mean something.
I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of positive talk about the Reiner kid at left guard.
Yeah. No, it's...
And I tell you what,
Derek Wolfe is complaining about him practicing too hard. That's okay with me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Gossage as well. A lot of those guys said... I was talking to Zach Kerr. We had game night at Derek Wolfe's house, and they're saying that, man, this guy is good. You know, and I never heard him say that. And, you know,
Tommy's more concerned about the guy way out left.
Well, Bowles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bowles got to get it together. He's led the league in holes the past 2 years, and trust me, we're having those conversations.
Is he open to those conversations?
Yeah, he's open to them. He listens to me. He listens to me. So we're having those conversations, but at the end of the day, I think a good thing for Bowles is we got Munchak. He's one of the best. He's the best offensive line coach in the league. So, and Ronald Leary's been talking to him a lot too. So we'll see.
Yeah, he needs help. See.
Maybe have him come out to game night.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We'll see.
Maybe not.
Hey, look, he's already making my schedule for me. Yeah, you need to invite Bowles.
By the way, I hear what you're saying is that you're in a routine. The routine's working for you. So it's no big deal to keep going with the routine. I'm sure you're going to take some time in the summer to travel or do something.
Yeah. I mean, I got trips planned. I'm going to New York. And like a week before the season, I kind of just relax. So I go 2-a-days, I work throughout the weekends, and then the last week of training camp, I just do more recovery stuff, and then I just explode.
How old are your kids?
I got a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. Yeah, trust me.
How's the potty training going with the 2-year-old?
Oh, my God. My daughter, man. My daughter is the hardest thing.
Is she getting it?
She's trying to get it. It's not that. It's just hard to just say no, you know?
You can say yes. It's the change in the diapers is what just burned me out. That's why I never went for number three. Tommy went for a third kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I help, but
I'm happy, though. I'm happy we did. I got another daughter. Daughters are awesome.
Five-year-olds tend to be great, though, because they can get their seatbelts on and off. Yeah. They're your best friend. They're a little bit more independent, right?
Yeah, my son, yeah. He's awesome.
And does he understand what dad does for a living yet?
Oh, he been new. If he sees you with a Broncos shirt on out in public, he's like, my dad is Emmanuel Sanders.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, he knows. He doesn't. It's crazy. He started playing flag football. I coached him this ring of flag football. We were playing against third graders. The last game, he caught an interception. When I tell you, I was so proud. But all the parents was like screaming and hollering, and I wanted to. I was like, I'm going to play this cool, but I can't wait until we get in the car to tell you how proud I am. It was amazing.
How old were you when you started playing football?
I was 12.
Contact football?
No, I was 12. So I come from like a small, small country town. So my uncle, which was like a father figure to me, like we didn't have football in the town. So he literally created a football league just for me and my cousin to play. We were the same age.
Okay.
Yeah.
But tackle football, not flag football.
No, we went straight to tackle.
Okay.
First game, we quit. We couldn't even finish halftime.
What do you mean?
It was a girl on the team. She was like beating us. We were 12 years old, halftime. We couldn't even, like, we were so tired. And
you didn't go back out for the second half?
No. We just quit. We were so tired.
That's too funny.
This is a small country town. We only had, like, 15 players, you know what I mean?
So when you got to high school, what was the high school scene like then?
High school was good. I mean, okay. 12, when I started at 12, and then once we got to junior high, like, we're like, a couple of guys I played with when I went on to college, we were really good. And then, you know, high school, got to the game before state like twice. But I'm from a small, small country town in Texas. So football, when it comes to high school football, it's like Friday Night Lights.
Right.
Yeah.
Why SMU?
That was the only thing I had. They're the only ones.
Why?
They're the only ones that offer me. I mean, think about it. I'm from a small country town. Nobody knew about me. And it was a guy by the name of Larry Emerson that was just driving through Bellevue. He stopped. And showed, I played quarterback my senior year.
Oh, okay.
And then I played running back. I never played receiver. I played running back the whole time. I played receiver a little bit. But, you know, he took a liking to me and he offered me a scholarship. And they were my first scholarship offer. And then I went to the U of H camp with Art Browse. And I go out there and my uncle just, you know, paid for it. It was semi-expensive at the time.
I'm sure.
And so I go, and he sees, Art Browse sees me working out, and Next thing you know, he calls me up to the office. He goes, you didn't get the scholarship offer that I offered you? I sent it in your mailbox. I was like, nah, coach, I didn't get the scholarship offer, man. It's too late. I'm going to SMU.
You know, that's a remarkable story just because sometimes you just need the opportunity, right? I mean, you got to be pretty talented, obviously, really talented. Yeah. But what if you didn't?
It's tough in high school, though, to, you know, especially coming from a smaller town, to kind of stand out for, to be found by, you know, college scouts, whatever they are, coaches.
Especially if you don't have any money. So, like, for me, I grew up, like, obviously my uncle was taking care of me, but we never went to any football camps because we couldn't afford it, you know? But if I would have went to the UTs and the A&Ms and Ohio State, easily I would have got a scholarship offer because they would have saw.
If you just could have got to one of those camps.
But these days, you see a lot of these kids at 14, 15, they're already going to these camps. They're already getting that exposure, you know? But I didn't even know about it. I didn't even care to go to camps. I was just playing football just because I like football.
Did you even care about going to college?
No. Never thought that I would go to college. As a matter of fact, I was getting ready to go to the Army.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was going to go to the Army because I just wanted to get out of my small town. I was like, yo, I'm getting out of here. Like, I'm not staying here and just working at Sonic.
But
like,
you had working at Sonic. Was that it?
Yeah,
was that
the... I mean, I just feel like that's I feel like the small country town I'm in is really, like, nothing to do out there. Like, when I tell you, like, my uncles, I had two twin uncles. One passed away. That's why I said had. But he was a bull rider. Bulls end up stepping on his head, you know, passed away from that.
Sorry.
And the other one was a calf roper. Like, I grew up riding horses. Like,
cowboy.
I grew up going to rodeos. That's why a lot of people, they don't understand. Like, I got a cowboy mentality when I play football because I grew up around the rodeo. You know what I mean? And so,
I'd have somebody look out for you, though, a little bit.
So if you were planning on going to the Army, how did you like college?
College was cool. I went to SMU. It was definitely different.
Yeah.
You know, you got kids pulling up in Lamborghinis.
Yeah, you do.
That's a pretty ritzy school. Yeah, it was definitely different. But it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot how to network and stuff like that, which was pretty amazing.
How much do you keep of that with you now, even with all the success you've had, the where you came from, what it took to get where you're at? How much of that do you carry with you?
I carry with me every day. That's the reason why, you know, I work my butt off because, you know, I don't want to go back to the circumstances I was born into, you know? And, you know, I feel like I got this platform and I feel like God placed me on this platform. Why not take advantage of it? All you got to do is just keep working your butt off, right?
So what's going to keep you here in Denver then?
I mean, you know what's going to keep me here in Denver.
Well, I'm curious what you think is going to keep you here in Denver.
1,100 yards and a healthy season.
All right. Do you want to stay here in Denver?
Of course I do. But
Chris Harris said, well, I'll give him a shot. I'll give him a chance at the end of the year.
At the end of the day, you know, I could sit up here and say, yeah, I want to be here in Denver in the whole 9 yards. But if I hit free agency and I have 1,100 yards, and I'm coming off explosive year. We make the playoffs, and I hit free agency. Of course I'm going to listen to other teams. Why would I not?
Do you think if you weren't hurt, you would have been in a very similar circumstance to what Chris just went through?
Yeah, more than likely. I would probably wanted to do.
What were you thinking during Chris's time when he was going through all that?
Chris was getting paid very, very low. Chris deserved to get that money. And a lot of people don't agree with sitting out, but at the same time, it's one of those situations that if he would have showed up, see, a lot of people, I always tell people, you have to put your, if you can't put yourself in the shoes of an athlete and understand the situation at hand, then what are you really doing? You're just talking. Put yourself in those shoes and ask yourself, what would you do? Okay. And a lot of people say, well, if I was making that kind of money, I wouldn't complain. Okay, if it was another radio personality that was doing just what you was doing, he was getting paid $50 million and you was getting paid $200,000, you'd be like, screw that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing that.
I'd have to be willing to accept the consequences of going somewhere else, though.
Yeah.
I'd have to be, I think Chris was.
Yeah, but the thing is you got to know your worth.
That's true, too.
Chris knows his worth. There's nothing wrong with knowing your worth, okay? So think about it. If Chris would have showed up to OCA's just to please everybody else and knowing his worth, and he would have tore his ACL, everybody then would have been like, oh, what was he even doing out there? He should have never been out there. He should have just waited until he got the contract, you know what I mean? And da 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 da. You know, you can't make everybody happy, but at the end of the day, you got to make the right decision. Chris I take it like this. He's a contractor for the Denver Broncos. He's a defensive back in the NFL, you know? And so, therefore, if he's putting up these type of numbers, he deserves this type of money. And if they're not willing to pay this type of money, then he has to take his business somewhere else.
Was he willing to sit out?
At least I don't think it would have got there.
All right, well, let me ask you this.
I never saw it getting there.
About yourself, then. The money for this year for you isn't guaranteed until the year starts. Am I right on that? If I'm wrong, just correct me.
Yeah.
I'm right on that, okay? Yeah. You don't want to get hurt during training camp, then.
Of course not.
So how much do you even need to or want to participate in training camp?
Man,
in light of what, it's a huge financial, significant.
I don't think like that.
Okay.
I don't
think so. You're not, if he doesn't partake in training camp, they'll cut him.
Will they?
If he doesn't do anything?
Nah. So they might. But the thing is this. I don't think like that. Okay? Because I know my worth as well. Football, I love football. Okay? Football has taken me here. The reason why I'm on this radio station. Mm-hmm. But I'm just not a football player. All right? I've already been offered job offers from other media outlets in the seven figures. You know? So I've already prepared for this. So for me, I don't think like that because I know my worth. So the moment that they tell me to go, I'm going to put it all in God's hands, and I'm going to give him my all. And if I get hurt, dust my hands off, hey, I'm good.
All right, how about this then? You're healthy. It's great. Season starts. Awesome, right?
Yeah.
Now we're midway or we're whatever. We're into the season. Is that the right time for the team to come talk to you about some sort of extension?
Yeah, we'll see.
You rather go to free agency?
I mean, I feel like the Broncos are in a tough spot. Because at the end of the day, do you offer, and like I said, I can't put myself in other people's shoes. Okay, do you offer a guy that, okay, he can possibly get hurt again, you know? So you really have to see, can he make it a whole season? Because truthfully, 2 years ago, I hurt my ankle, right? Missed the last four.
See, now you're starting to think like what we said behind these microphones.
I'm sharp, man. Look, man,
No, you're thinking like management.
Well, you have to.
Because it's business. I never mix business with personal. Like, the Broncos know, like, I love the Broncos. I love everybody in that organization, from Joe Ellis to John Elway to the whole training staff. I know I love everybody. But at the same time, it's business. So I understand where they're coming from, and they got to understand where I come from. You know what I mean? And so with that said, like, I know what they're thinking. Mm-hmm. So there's no... Oh, you did me wrong. Like, it's none of that. You know what I mean? Like, no, it's business. You know, you have to do what's best for your business, just like I got to do what's best for Emmanuel Sanders Incorporated.
All right, we got to take a quick break. I think we're getting along just fine. Everything's cool.
Nah, we got to start fighting.
See, I don't know the background there, so I
I want to ask, I do want to ask about the
very friendly.
For driving in the emergency lane.
All right.
Only if you want to, though.
No, we can't. It's not a problem.
Because I find it funny.
Yeah. It was funny.
Okay. We'll get to it coming up next.